So folks, we're in the middle of our Be Strong and Be Courageous series. I wasn't sure when I started if it was two messages, three messages. We're now up to message number five, so we'll see how much longer the Lord wants us to head in that direction. But where did we leave the Israelites last time? If you remember, we left them stranded in the wilderness. Well, that's not a good place to leave anybody, right? So today I'm hoping to get them out of the wilderness. Last time we looked at God coming to Moses, and he said, Moses, depart from here and take these people into the promised land. And we looked at what the promised land meant to them and a little bit of what it might look like to us. And we talked about believing God to do some exciting things for him to fulfill all of the promises that he's made to us as individuals, as families, and as a church. So today, well, let's remind ourselves. I know you know the story, but then we're all on the same page. Why were they stranded in the wilderness? Well, they were stranded in the wilderness because when Moses told them what the Lord said, that he wanted to take them into the land, they had heard that there were some giants in the land and there were some walled cities. And they said, we can't believe God to take us in. So God didn't take them in. So now God is coming and he's speaking to the next leader. He spoke to Moses. Now he's speaking to Joshua. So we are in Joshua 1:1. Joshua 1:1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Almost exactly the same thing he had said to Moses. Arise. Okay, remember we talked last time? If you're going to go somewhere, you have to start the journey. Like, you can't sit on your sofa at home and say, hey, I want to spend a week in Florida. Well, that's a nice thought. But if you're going to get there, you either have to go out of your house and get in your car, or you have to have somebody drive you to the airport and you take a plane. So he said, arise. Okay, when we're starting to go somewhere, we have to arise. And then he said, cross the river. Cross the river. Well, in this case, crossing a river meant that everything was going to be new and different. Why? Because they were in a desert, so they were going from sand to grass. That's a difference. They were going from having to hunt for an oasis or believe in God to bring water out of a rock to they now had streams and lakes. That's a difference. They were going to be going from walking outside every morning and just picking up a can full of manna to they now had the fish and there were all kinds of fruits and vegetables. Do you remember it said that the grapes, okay, we have a nice picture of grapes back there on our fruit of the spirit sign. They were so big that it took two men to carry a bunch of grapes. That's a lot of fruit and vegetables. They didn't have those in the desert. So things had to be done differently. Everything was starting to change because they were crossing the river. And he said, and possess the land that I have promised to you. See, God has promised us things. He has land that we're to take. Yes? Okay, so four people right here believe that. So we'll try it one more time. Does God have land and promises for us to take? Okay, this side's still beating. We'll let you guys catch up in a little bit over here. All right, so I got a little ahead of the Word, so let's catch you up in the Word. To the land which I am going to give to them, Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. So it's promised to us, but we have to make it our possession. Then God knew too that there were giants and walled cities. Do you think that surprised him? He knew that was there. But he had told Moses, don't fear because I am going to go with you and going to go ahead of you. The battle is the Lord. He never expects us to battle on our own. So now he's telling this next group of people in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Ah, see, that was the title of our message. This is where I started 5 weeks ago. And then the Lord just expanded it and expanded it. Be strong and courageous. So I heard a pastor one time give an illustration of how we gain strength. And I thought it was very good. So let's say that there's this really large boulder blocking my path. I mean, it doesn't have to be really big to be bigger than me, but let's say it's, you know, big. All right? Now, this boulder might not look big to Eddie, but it looks pretty darn big to me. And if I'm trying to move it, I can press and press and press and press, and it doesn't seem to be budging. But what I don't realize is, do you remember? Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. So it doesn't seem like you're hardly doing anything at all, but every time you press against that boulder, against that thing that's blocking your path, you're getting stronger. So what you may end up doing, God probably never intended you to move this boulder by yourself. So, you know, I might have to ask Mark and Jerry, boy, they look like pretty three strong guys right there in a row. You three guys come up and help me push this boulder. So the four of us together can move it. But what will I find out the next time I try to move a boulder this size that I couldn't before? Because I was willing to keep pushing on this one, I can now get rid of that one. So sometimes it feels like we're not making any forward motion. We have this thing in our life that's just in the way. Well, you may have to call a couple people and say, hey, would you pray with me about this thing and help me push it out of the way? But as you've been pushing against it for weeks, months, years, right, Nancy? You're getting stronger and you don't even know it. Be strong and be courageous. Okay, so what's courageous mean? Courageous means you're never afraid. Absolutely not. It means that even though you have fear, you choose to push past that fear. You recognize that you're afraid to do that thing or afraid to go into that new territory, but you believe God to allow you to walk through that fear until you get to the other side. We talked before about things that we've gone through in the past. When we were gone through them, didn't it feel like it was a storm that was never going to end? Or that storm was going to flood your boat and you were going to sink? But God helped you through it, and now when you look back, it was like, yes, God and I got through that, even though I had some fear. And so now that helps you to be courageous in situations now. So God told Joshua, yes, there's going to be giants. Yes, there's walled cities. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, when God says something, we can know it's sure because he doesn't lie. And he's able to do it. If he says it three times, it's pretty important. Pretty important. If God feels he needs to say it three times. Verse 7. Only, regardless of everything else, only be strong and courageous. Okay, that's the second time. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the left or to the right so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. The word that God gives us is what holds us through situations. Be careful to do according to what is written in it. Now, verse 9. So first, be strong and courageous. Second, only be strong and courageous. Now God says, have I not commanded you? Ooh. Ooh. I don't think you could get much stronger than that, could you, Marty? No. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, because the Lord is with you wherever you go. There's the key. Knowing that He's with us wherever we go. So I just want to quickly mention their first obstacle. So they did this. They arose. They went across the Jordan. Remember, God split the Jordan just like He did the Red Sea. They go into this promised land, and there they see Jericho, their first walled city. There was none of those in the desert. Do you think maybe there was a little bit of fear and trembling? Oh yeah, what'd God tell us? Wait a minute, what'd God command us? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or tremble. I will be with you. So not only was He with them, but remember it said to follow all of the things that God says? God gave them specific instructions. Now, if I wanted to defeat an enemy who had a walled city, I don't think my first choice would be, worship team, walk around the wall one time and then go back. And then go out. So this was Monday morning. Tuesday morning, go out, walk around it, come back. Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. 7 days. On the seventh day, walk around it seven times. Now, does that make any sense? Really? You know, does God's instructions always make sense? No. So then when you walk around it the seventh time, everybody on the worship team, blow your trumpets, and everybody shout. Yeah, so if you're doing this, are you thinking about the sixth time around? Okay, we've done this for 7 days. This is a wall. This is a city. We're the worship team. I don't know about this. And then be strong and courageous. Do not fear or tremble, and you obey the Lord, and what happens? Wall comes down. Wow. Yeah, in Joshua 10, so this was all the Lord talking to Joshua. In Joshua 10, He tells the people, do not fear or be dismayed, be strong and courageous. So I just want to say to you today, whatever you're facing, whatever looks like a giant, whatever seems like a walled city, don't fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. Now, it said, I have promised this land to you, and that I will give you what I have promised. Folks, did God lie or did that actually happen? It actually happened? It did. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which He had sworn to give their fathers. They possessed it and they lived in it. And I love this next part. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that He had told their fathers. Not one of all of their enemies stood against them. I'm going to give you the verse in a minute. The Lord gave all of their enemies into their hands. That's where we're headed. Then this one. This is the best. Not one single one of all of the good promises that the Lord had made to them failed. Every one came to pass. Yay! Yay! That's a shouter, right, Nancy? That is Joshua 21, 43-45. All right. That was my introduction. So we're now in Joshua 22. The Lord had given them rest, and the Lord gave them what he had promised. Verse 4. Now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore turn now to your tents, to the land of your possession. Only be careful to observe the commandment and law of the Lord, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away. They went to their tents. Did you hear the summary that Joshua gave to what it means to obey the law of the Lord? Be careful to observe the commandment and the law, to love the Lord your God. I think somebody else said something like that, didn't he? And then Joshua blessed them and sent them away. So God gave them rest, and Joshua gave them his blessing. I want us to just take a little bit of time and look at what Jesus had to say about those same things. The Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, and they gathered themselves together and sent a lawyer, an expert in the law, to question him and to test him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Okay. Well, you remember what they are. Do not steal and do not kill. Okay. Do not lie. Do not covet. Honor your father and mother. Keep the Sabbath. Okay. Which of those is the greatest? What does Jesus say? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was an interesting reply, wasn't it? I might have pulled out a couple others that I think people could work on. But he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Then listen at his next sentence, his next statement. On these two commandments depend the entire law and the prophets. The entire law and the prophets depend on those two. So that word depend means that all the other laws and all the other commandments hang on. So here's an illustration. Now, I know people don't hang out clothes anymore. My mother hung out clothes every day. So I had that growing up. We still have clothesline. We use it some. So we have a clothesline pole at one end. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Clothesline pole over here. Your neighbor is yourself. You put a line between it, and that's where you hang. Honor your father and mother. Do not steal. Do not kill. Obey the Sabbath. See, they all hang on those two. If you don't have those two, you just have a mess in the middle. So they all have to hang on those other two. And do you know if you obey those two, you automatically obey all the rest? Because if you love God, you're going to want to be here and make Sunday an important day in your life. You're not going, if you love your neighbor, why would you want to covet what your neighbor has? You'd be thrilled that your neighbor has a brand new 2019 whatever they have in their driveway. Okay? You wouldn't want to commit adultery with another man's wife if you loved your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Now we're going to John 10, John chapter 10. Remember, God said that he gave them all that he promised. He gave them what they needed to possess. So I want us to look a little bit about what Jesus had to say. Okay. I forgot to have that ready. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have and have it more. So Jesus came to give us above and beyond all that the enemy has tried to steal from us. He comes to give us life, and not just barely enough to get by, but to have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. So what did Jesus freely give us, first of all? His life. He laid down his life for his friends, us. He chose to do that. You can't give any more than that, can you? He gave his life. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Sounds like a pretty secure place to be. My Father has given them to me, and he is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So first, he gave us his life. Second of all, he gave us eternal life. So there were three things that I wanted to talk about that he gave us. His life, eternal life, and I think Psalms 103 describes the next one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's a song. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, heals a few of your diseases. Is anybody going to catch me on that one? All of your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'll take that. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Yea. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord has compassion on us. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children. He is full of mercy and compassion. Jesus freely gave out mercy and compassion. In James it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. In 1 Peter it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You were not the people of God, but you have now received mercy. Jesus had mercy on the needy. He showed mercy to the sick. He extended mercy to sinners. Jesus had dinner one day with sinners. And the Pharisee said, why are you eating with sinners? Jesus said, it's not the sick who needs a doctor. And then he told them, find out what the scripture means when it says, I desire mercy above sacrifice. I desire mercy above sacrifice. That's from the Old Testament. Jesus is saying, yes, you can obey me and offer a sacrifice, but if you go out and you're unmerciful to people, uncompassionate to people, I would have rather you have done that and skipped the sacrifice. I desire mercy more than sacrifice. Biblical mercy is seen by stopping and bending down in kindness to help another, to be compassionate, to extend others forgiveness that they haven't earned and don't deserve. I want to bring this to a close by just looking at one of Jesus' adventures that show His mercy, that show His compassion. This was on the Sabbath. Now, isn't there a commandment to obey the Sabbath? Jesus departed from there and went into their synagogue, and there was a man with a withered hand. And they said to Jesus, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "What man is there among you who, when he has a sheep and he falls in a pit, even if it's the Sabbath, won't you take your sheep out of the pit? How much more valuable is this man?" See, mercy is more important than sacrifice. So, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored, and it was normal, just like his others. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him that they might destroy him. Jesus was aware of this, and he withdrew. Many followed him, and he healed them all. So Jesus instructs us as his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So what have we received? If we're talking about being generous today, okay, and I shared that story with you about those people had nothing to eat. You know, that chicken they gave you was probably supposed to feed them all week. And they probably gave the only loaf of bread they had. So what is it that you've received that others so desperately need? Can you think of something? Now, a lot of times we think of financial things. Well, and Jesus was concerned about the practical. I mean, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. So yes, we can help people with practical needs. Okay, he said that you clothed me, so if they need clothes. But sometimes people just need kindness. They don't get it anywhere else. They don't get it at their home, they don't get it at their job. They need kindness. Sometimes they just have no idea in the midst of the world we live in where to find peace. Well, you know where to find peace. And hopefully when you come in here on Sunday mornings, you're able to receive some peace. So when someone says to you, "Boy, my life just seems so hectic, and this is happening, and that's happening, and I just can't seem to find peace." Oh, what an open door they've just made. And you can say, "Well, hey, could I pray with you? Because, you know, I know the Prince of Peace, and He promised to give us peace. So could I just pray with you?" Sometimes people say, "I just can hardly believe, or I don't have any hope." Well, we have hope because we serve the giver of life and hope. And so we say, "Can I just, in the midst of this situation, pray for you and offer you some hope?" So maybe you've been holding on to something that Jesus wants you to freely give. Mercy, compassion, forgiveness, provision, monetary help, maybe just your presence, maybe just somebody to be with them. You know, sometimes people just need to know that somebody cares. And when you call, you send a card, you stop over with a blueberry pie, you can bring one to my house at any time. Just that you thought about them. I received a text from somebody this week that lives a couple hours away just saying, "Hey, how are you? How are things going?" And I thought, oh, he's thinking of me. See how much those little acts of kindness mean. Okay, I'm going to close with this. So Peter and John, this is after Jesus' death and resurrection, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they're on their way to church at 3 p.m. I'm not sure why you go to church at 3 p.m, but it says they were going to church at 3 p.m. to pray, and that was their normal thing. Okay? So they apparently prayed at 3 o'clock every afternoon. If I knew you'd all be here, I'd open the door for you to come at 3 p.m. So it says they were on their way, and there was a man sitting there outside the temple who was born lame. So think about that. Your whole life, you've never been able to walk. Never been able to run. You grew up, you were never able to keep a job. Okay, jobs back then were mostly physically demanding. So there wasn't a job where he could just sit. So your only hope of eating that day is if somebody threw some coins in your basket. So you're sitting there, and Peter and John come by you, and they stop. Okay? Am I going to embarrass you if I talk to you now? Okay, good, good, good. So they stop, and they look at this person. Now, if you're the person who's lame and I'm stopping, what is your thought? Yay! Maybe they're not going to throw a dime, a nickel, and 3 pennies while they walk by, because if they stop, they're going to give me something else. You know, maybe they're going to give me a $50 bill. Okay? So this guy is thinking, what are they going to give me? What are they going to give me? God doesn't require us to give what we don't have, but he calls us to share generously what we do have. So they said, we don't have silver and we don't have gold. They actually had something better. But what we do have, we give you. So what did they have? They had been with Jesus. They saw that Jesus could heal. And they believed that Jesus wanted to do it through them. And so they reached out, took the guy's hand, and said, "Arise." Thank you. And he stood up, was healed, and he went, "Oh, well." Huh? It says he went walking, leaping, and praising God into the temple. Yay! Now, those people in the temple for 3 o'clock prayer had seen him every day for weeks and months. And maybe they actually got a little tired of seeing him out there because you feel guilty. You know, well, I guess I got to throw a quarter in again today. And he comes walking into the temple. Walking into the temple. Because somebody chose to share generously what they had been given. See, that's our mission. Our mission is to share what we do have. To share compassion and mercy and kindness and forgiveness. And if somebody needs prayer, can we start going out there believing that when we pray, something will actually change? That if they have a headache, okay, they don't feel well, they're limping. I know I'm stretching, but I want us to stretch. They're deaf, they're blind, they're lame, they're using a walker, that when we pray with them, they'll actually be healed. Because the same Jesus who showed it to Peter and John is the same Jesus we say we love and believe. And if he did it through Peter and John, and he told us as his disciples to go out there and heal the sick, then I think he sort of expects us to do it. So, back to where I started at the very beginning. Because if we're going to do this, that's why we need this. Folks, be strong and be courageous, because He is with us and goes ahead of us.